Talking Automotive for VACC, providing support to the automotive industry with valued information and advice during these tough times.
13 to 10, Dennis Walter with you, and we're talking automotive, all things motoring. Just about everyone drives a car, so if you've got any questions, the man to help you is VACC CEO Jeff Gwillim. Jeff, good evening.
Good evening, Dennis. That's wishful thinking.
Good morning. Yes, that's right. Car safety you wanted to talk about tonight.
Well, I did actually, but more at the practical level, Dennis, more about you've had the car in the garage, you're going to go back to work, you're going to start to visit your family more. What are some of those basic safety checks? And one thing I wanted to touch on in particular, Dennis, a lot of people get this wrong. So they check their oil in the car, and the oil's a bit low. One, they've checked it when it's warm, which you should never do because the oil expands and it's going to give you a false reading. But if you keep topping old oil up in your car, you're doing two things. You're pretending you don't have a problem because you're losing oil because your engine's burning oil or you've just got an oil leak or a valve stuck open. But adding in new oil bit by bit to old dirty oil is a complete waste of time. And if you're doing it more than once or twice, you need to get that car down to the garage and get it fixed because you're just topping up old dirty oil with a bit of clean oil. What actually happens eventually, the integrity of the oil breaks down, Dennis. And you know when you get oil, it's got those numbers on the side, W35. That's all about the temperature that oil is supposed to work in your car. And if you start to erode the integrity of that oil, basically the oil is going to be too thin or too thick. It's sort of a safety check, but it's a check on your, it's a bit like checking your blood pressure. It's about making sure that your blood's in good order and it's not overpressured.
So when you put that that fresh oil into a car where the other oil is dirty, that's immediately dirty oil, isn't it?
Well, that's all you've done. I mean, a lot of people think that the 10% of clean oil is going to make the other 90% good. It's not. And if that other oil has been overheated and it's full of, and or it's full of dirt and grime, which it does over time, you're just wasting your time. More importantly, Dennis, what you want to know is where is it going? And if you're losing a lot of it, generally it's either burning because of the oil getting pushed past the piston rings, it's burning and you've got horrible tailpipe exhausts, or that oil is actually leaking out in another, through the engine somewhere, and you've got to find that oil leak. But either way, you've got a bit of a problem. So checking that oil. The other thing is, when you take the cap off to actually put the oil in to top it up a bit, and remember, you've got to do it a bit at a time. There's no point putting the whole container in. You're going to get too much oil in your engine. If you take that cap off and you turn it upside down and you put it down and you notice it's white, sort of milky white, that tells you that there's water getting into your oil. And that's a big, big problem. And if you ever see that white, milky oil on the oil cap, get that down to a mechanic shop because you've got water in your oil and you're going to end up blowing the engine up if you keep going.
And also, make sure that you're putting the oil that is the correct one for the car when you do add oil.
Well, I thought he was going to say something else then. A, the correct oil. What's the correct oil? It's the oil that's in the handbook for the vehicle, or your local mechanic's normally got a chart and they can look up and tell you what oil that is. But it wouldn't be the first time people have put oil in the water container or people have put water in the oil hole. So, a lot of this is colour-coded nowadays, but look on the cap. Normally it's got an oil drip on there or it's got an oil can on the cap and obviously the water. Look in the hole. You can normally see water, and that's empty, of course, but, it's a clear plastic bottle. But it wouldn't be the first person that's put water where the... And I know there's people on the line, they're thinking, gee, I did that once. By the way, if you do put water in the oil hole and you work out, that seems to be overflowing and it's got oil in it, do not start that car. If you start that car, you're going to drag that mixture of oil and water all the way through that engine, you're going to destroy it. So if that ever happens, just put the oil lid down, call your local mechanic, get somebody in to look at that car. Do not start that car.
It is 9 to 10. Now, we'll take calls after the break, 96900693 or 131332. Any questions you have for Jeff Gwillim, give us a call now. 6 to 10. Daryl, good evening. Your question for comment for Jeff Gwillim.
Oh, yes, I've got a comment. My wife diligently looks after her car, and she makes sure that whenever a light comes on, she looks after it or anything. And I happened to drive it the other day and noticed that the light hadn't come on her oil, and she'd just done a bit over 70,000 k's between oil changes. So I said, well, darling, maybe you should get the globe checked.
I think that's very good advice, Darrell. You're a clever man.
Well, it's a lot easier to be diplomatic than right in a marriage, isn't it?
Over to you, Jeff.
Well, look, you know, I'm not going to make any comment there, only to say if the dash light comes on, get it fixed. I wanted to talk very quickly as well, Dennis, because I think one of the things we've forgotten to do in cars is check the handbrake. Now, obviously, with a lot of modern cars, there are electronic handbrakes and they come on automatically. But I think, you know, my boy's got a ute. Sometimes I take his ute up the road, and I can tell you now, park it on a hill, get your foot on the brake, put the handbrake on and off, then pull the handbrake off on, take your foot off the brake, obviously make sure there's nothing behind you, and see if that car rolls back. I would bet that 50% of the cars on the roads today that have got a handbrake haven't been tested in 4 years, and it's a very simple task of getting on a slope, putting the handbrake off, then on again, remove your foot off the brake slowly. If that car starts to roll back, you've got to go and get it adjusted. Someone's got to get under the car. There's two little adjustment nuts on most handbrakes. And it's just those very small things that we're busy, Dennis, we're running around, we think everything's fine. But I think that those things, we've got to check them before we get back in our cars. Go check them on, you know, every couple of months. Just go and check it. Get on a hill. Make sure there's nothing around. Check if that handbrake's working.
Very important. Jeff, I had a family member who was having problems with an auto electrical type issue and tried two or three different mechanics, not backyarders, but they had no idea how to fix it. I asked a mate and he said, there's only one person for you to go to. And we waited 6 weeks for a time when he could take the car. Within 1 hour, he rang me to say he'd found exactly what the problem was. He got the part in, and I had it back the next day, and it's completely fixed after three expensive visits to people who didn't know.
Auto Elects, Dennis, they are the gods of the automotive industry, in my view. They are very special people. There's not many of them left, but they've got that diagnostic type approach, and if they've been around a while, they know every trick in the book. The modern stuff's good. I mean, you know, they're good at the modern stuff, but even in modern cars, Dennis, you know, an auto elect will often find something really like an earth lead that's not clamped on properly, or something that you wouldn't even think of. But you know, you mentioned backyarders there, and the reality is today, the average mechanic, dealership, auto elect, they're bristling with things called scan tools and diagnostic equipment. Your backyard is still walking around with a piece of wire and a light globe on the end of it. That ain't going to do it. You know, you've got to get these guys with the right technology. Some of this machinery is $30,000, $40,000 for a scan tool. But, boy, they're good pieces of equipment, and put in the right hands that you can find almost anything with them.
Jim has got a question. We'll need to be quick, Jim, but want to hear what you've got to say.
Yeah, just Dennis and Jeff, I'm wondering, are we allowed to go into Melbourne at the moment to look at used cars like through private people, you know, at private people?
Well, the 5 kilometre rule still applies, Jim, so unless it's critical or essential, you're still tied by that 5 kilometre rule, so you need to be careful.
I'm from rural Victoria, so am I not allowed to go into Melbourne at all to look at cars? Or
no.
No.
No, you can't drive into Melbourne and look at cars, no. At the moment. We're hoping that the Premier will get some flexibility here. We've got to get industry going, and we hope this weekend that he starts to talk about opening industry up.
Well, that's what we're hoping for. Jim, thanks for your call. Jeff Gwillim, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Dennis. Much appreciated.
VACC CEO Jeff Gwillim talking automotive.